This is The Lonely Office, your playbook for navigating the messy line between work and life. Our topics are sourced from real, anonymous workplace conversations happening within Glassdoor communities, from how to not get fired to negotiating severance. We discuss timely work-life issues so you don't have to brave that professional world alone. So I wanted to tell you a story about Jenna.
Okay, Jenna. Let's go.
She's an HR newbie and she's tasked with her first ever termination.
That's tough.
She's got to fire someone. This is tough, right? Key thing here is she's not doing it in person. She's doing it via Zoom call with a fully remote employee. Her boss assures her, don't worry, just follow the script. It does the trick every time. She reads the script and it's like a general template. So she kindly asks her boss, is there any details about the employee that can help me justify this termination? Her boss pauses and is like, oh yeah, of course. It's in our people CRM somewhere. But you won't need to get into that too much over the Zoom call. Just redirect them to the employee handbook and deliver the message. Jenna makes the call. She's got her script on her screen. She delivers the bad news. The employee on the other end is really quick. She's asking questions like, why am I being terminated? Can you share any data on my performance? Show me the proof.
I want the truth, damn it.
Yeah.
I want the truth. So what was supposed to be a straightforward script reading turns into this chaotic dance of deflections and awkward pauses with Jenna's confidence evaporating every second as she's sweating through this. Somehow she's able to finish the call. Few days go by. Jenna is numbing herself by endlessly scrolling through cat videos on TikTok. She stumbles upon a viral video and she leans in. It's really familiar. Her stomach drops. It's her voice in the video and a profile shot of the employee she just fired, captured on a camera she didn't know that was recording.
Oh.
Awkward.
In 1 week, Jenna goes from being an optimistic HR newbie to the villain in a video gone rogue, now entertaining the masses on TikTok.
That's a sign of our times. You mentioned the video on TikTok and, you know, the story we just shared, Jenna's story, was just played out on social media to an audience of millions, but from the prism of an employee and not an HR director. That employee was Brittany Peach. She shared a video on TikTok of her termination by the company Cloudflare, now viewed by millions of people.
We've decided to part ways with you.
Yeah, I'm going to stop you right there.
Brittany Peach went viral after recording herself demanding answers about why she was being fired from her job.
I won't be able to go into specifics for numbers.
Wait, why though?
I'm happy to follow up with you separately to give you the data that was calibrated.
Since sharing the recording of her firing, the video has gained millions of views and thousands of comments.
We thought it was just going to live there in a podcast we recorded, keep it short and simple. But this has kind of turned into a full throttled topic. I couldn't stop laughing. I feel for her, but it's hilarious.
It's funny. I mean, for me, what's odd is that far from feeling empathy for Brittany, the employee that was being terminated, I found myself in kind of a suspended disbelief as I watched the video that the HR people on the call can be as tone deaf and unpresent as they sounded. And just to kind of give the play-by-play a bit to the audience here, to start, the first HR person joining this call on this video that you can watch on TikTok, it starts off by profusely apologizing out of the gate. You know, apologizing in a meeting where you're about to fire someone, it's never a good idea, right? That's the very first. And then throughout the meeting, like Jenna's story, the account exec, Brittany, asks for specifics, any crumbs of data explaining why she's being fired.
She deserves it.
She deserves it. And the HR folk can't provide anything. They just incessantly respond that they won't be able to go into specifics or don't have numbers, or you have questions that we cannot give answers to. The feeling I came out with was, is this like a communist bureau she's speaking with? I mean, honestly, there was no answers to anything.
Yeah.
I don't think any of us are naive and we understand the legal implications for companies when terminating employees. But after watching that video and hearing Jenna's story, I just cannot help but come to the conclusion that the HR process for terminating employees is just fundamentally broken.
I think the question is, has it always been fundamentally broken? Because is there ever really a good way to fire someone? Yeah, if I'm thinking from this Brittany Peach, I understand the desire to use the camera in this case. Like, I would be scared to do it, to be honest, but I understand because Sheep for me represents decades and decades of people getting fired in this really crappy way, this inhuman way. She's probably wondering, is this a human being?
Right. Have any of you been fired with the manager not present?
Oh, with a manager not present.
Or just not being provided any performance evaluation data similar to Brittany?
No.
Yeah. As you guys know, I've been fired a lot in the past. I have been fired without a manager present before, but it's rare. And maybe it's the case here, but it was always because of downsizing.
You've been on the flip side of the movie Up in the Air with George Clooney. With George Clooney, and he's a downsizing consultant. The only thing they can deliver is the line, it's not personal. It's not personal. I mean, you must have been, maybe you were in the driver's seat terminating or firing someone. And in those instances, did you provide performance reasons?
I've had one call where I had to tell someone we were letting them go, and it was just me, which I thought was a bit unfair from senior leadership.
Was it a Zoom call?
It was an audio call. It was not in person. He didn't take it super well and wanted to know more data. And I was like, you know, it's a cost thing. And I think in a lot of these cases, sometimes there are other underlying things where you are like, this is probably the right decision overall.
And but it's you not lie just, about why you're doing it?
No, it's not lying about why you're doing it. But there are times when someone is laid off simply because mass layoffs had to happen.
Yeah.
And then sometimes there are people who are included in those layoffs who it was probably time for them to move on.
It seems like in your case, though, Leah, you shared some rationale or some reasons that the employee could grasp onto to help understand why.
Yeah. They were like, you know this person better than anyone else, so you should do it. I was like, I'd really rather not.
They thought you would be easier if you did it because you knew them. So was it sort of like a compassion thing? Like it'll just be easier coming from you kind of deal?
I think that was the thought.
In any scenario, there's some basic rights here employees should have. And particularly when it has to do with their own termination, just being told or shared the fundamental reasons why they're being terminated. And I think some of this is expectations. We talk about the top where it feels like the HR apparatus and process of termination is a bit broken. I feel like in an era where the way we consume and fetch information is so instantaneous, the fact that these HR directors had this script, but like, oh, we have the data, we can't share it with you, it just doesn't work. You know, students taking the GRE or the GMAT, after you take that, you get results instantaneously. So we're just so accustomed to having information fed to us. I think it's broken and it underestimates employees right now.
But like being let go, being fired, you're in a high stress, like high adrenaline rush. I understand the instinct to record what's happening, to fully be able to remember what just happened to you.
Jenna is on the other side of that in our story, right? Jenna doesn't know she's being recorded. She didn't know Martin Scorsese's hiding in the background with the camera. But I also understand the employee side. I'm going to the moment that Brittany Peach or the employee in our story decides to take out the phone. Is the instinct to do that because they feel like something's happening, they're angry, and they just want to capture it? Or is it because they already have a cultural suspicion of how they've been treated? And maybe that generic template goes deeper than we think. And they kind of know something's coming and they want to capture that moment of being treated poorly and without the basic rights that you're talking about.
I think it's the last. I think you hit on the nose. She knew exactly what type of meeting she was entering into. And not to say that she had a script, but I think some of the questions she ended up asking, she definitely kind of had them rehearsed in her mind a bit, the way the video played out. And that's because this is not new, right? Mm-hmm. I think most of us are accustomed to now understanding, due to either legal implications or professional implications, which we'll get to in a second, HR chooses to conduct these termination meetings more as empathy sessions and sessions that address the psychology of the employee more than they address the business rationale of the decision.
Yeah.
And that just goes pretty much against everything you were taught and the way you were onboarded into a business or a company where you're accountable for your actions and it's based on data and you give the business rationale or the data behind your business decisions. And here you are at the final meeting with your company and they refuse to go into that. And so I think she knew that. And so she was prepared to capture that on video. And I think that's probably why the video resonated with so many people, because it's more about just the fundamental frustration you have with HR and its inability to provide very basic information which I think should be deemed to be a right of an employee in an exit interview.
Leah, we've done shows about this here in the last year about a rising frustration with talking out of both sides of your mouth. Matt, you know, we talked about the we're family. Hey, we were supposed to be a team here. If you're going to cut me loose, cut me loose. But like, you're not talking to me like a brother or a sister. You're talking to me like an accountant or a lawyer. What happened to the family thing? Yeah. Family doesn't treat each other this way. So I feel like they kind of can spike the emotional frustration of like, wait a second here. We were just talking all this kumbaya. Now you're talking to me like you're an AI accountant. Cut me loose. It's got to suck.
Family straight up with family, right?
Even if they fight, even if they have an argument, let's have an argument.
Yeah. And also it's not like, this is someone talking to you that you've never met before. So all of a sudden you're going from having like a chit chat in the halls or on meetings or whatever, someone that you know pretty well. They're talking to you in this very scripted, formal way. It's off-putting.
I don't know about your family. My family delivers the truth really directly.
Oh, yeah,
very straightforward. And it's funny. We have Jenna, the story, but then we have Brittany Peach, the video.
Yeah.
And, you know, they're just the same story from different perspectives. Back to the perspective of Brittany for a second, the employee being fired. She literally says on the call, I had three contracts. I started out doing three contracts and I was told I'd be doing a great job. But last second, they didn't close just because I haven't closed anything officially. Well, you know what my family would tell me? They'd be like, you didn't sell anything. Like,
coffee is for closers. Yeah,
coffee's for closers.
Coffee is
ABC,
for closers,
always
Brittany.
Be closing.
Yeah. Obviously, the HR and the company doesn't enjoy terminating you, but results speak for themselves. That's what my family would tell me. And you didn't close any contracts. And I don't blame Brittany here at all. I blame HR, assuming that either employees or this young generation can't handle the truth. They can handle the truth, damn it. It's like that Few Good Men line. Let me handle the truth. Give it to me.
You know, we have the Lonely Office Bowl and the Glassdoor app, and we're posting updates on the episodes. People are suggesting topics. There was one person that jumped in there recently. It was a senior art director, and they said that this was a mid show that always takes the side of bosses. Hey, guess what, senior art director? You hear us right now? We're not taking the boss's side. I'm going to be honest with you. I had to hold myself back. I had to speak to my higher self. But no, I'm glad. Listen, even dissenting views about the show, those discussions, even those comments are good in the bowl after the podcast too, because it is a perception thing. Look, we talk from a business standpoint. Matt, I know oftentimes you're put into a position of talking from an operator's point of view, but I got to be honest, even reflecting on these episodes, I don't think this is always sugarcoated. And I for sure don't feel like we're taking the boss's side. In fact, I hear you saying, just want to reiterate this, Matt, that you're looking from Brittany Peach's perspective. She's asking all the right questions and she deserves a certain amount of respect and clearly from a legal standpoint, or even from a right standpoint, information here. She wants to know what's going on.
Yeah, it's clear. And I almost be curious to ask Leah, have you ever been in scenarios where at least if the employee was on their way out, they were dished out PIPs,
performance improvement plans.
Yeah, performance improvement plans. And what's surprising here in this video is that she seemed legitimately surprised. And I guess she was never served a PIP, a performance improvement plan. And so once again, bad expectations set on behalf of the manager, where if anything, he was only delivering positive feedback en route to zero deals being closed. I don't know why he would do that. She has a right to be asking these questions if her manager was just showering her with praise up to this meeting, right? Where was the pick?
Hey, I just want to interrupt really quick. If you're enjoying this show, please leave us a review and a 5-star rating. Just takes
Aaron. Yeah. That's asking too much.
It's just a couple seconds. Yeah. Just a couple seconds. Literally two. It actually takes less time than me saying this right now.
5-star rating.
5-star rating. And listen, we couldn't do this without your support, sincerely. All right, let's get back to it.
Performance improvement plans, PIPs, whatever they're called. They're hard work. They're really uncomfortable. They're awkward. You can see why someone would avoid doing them. And that's almost like letting someone go without dealing with it is the easy way out. But you haven't given someone a chance to turn things around if you're not actually telling them what they're doing wrong or how they can improve.
You know, we talk about quiet quitting. The flip side of that, the employer side, is quiet firing, where you get lazy and you stop paying attention, providing any counsel or advice, any type of direction. And what ends up happening is the performance, you know, just gets worse and worse as a result. And then they get surprised by HR one day.
Well, in the case of Jenna, obviously she shouldn't have been put in this position where she's just like, oh, you just get on a call.
It's kind of like you were.
You read it.
It's kind of like you were, Leah, like, when they asked you to do it, honestly, on your own. It's a nightmare scenario.
Yeah, we should hit on the legal piece here a bit, because I think a lot of reasonable listeners on the call will probably ask, well, guys, you're completely missing the point around we live in litigious times and societies, and these companies are just protecting themselves. My perspective, probably your perspective, is that, yeah, like, we get it. We've covered on numerous shows in the past, whether it be Title VII or other legislative acts, we have all sorts of protection from employer discrimination due to our characteristics, sex, race, color, age. We even have protections from retaliation claims, where if we think our employer is firing us because we complained about the CEO, for instance, and the firing is interpreted to be retaliation for that complaint, then we could bring a lawsuit. And so I get companies are trying to protect themselves and there's some legal risks, but have we reached a point where we're so concerned about the legal outcomes that the company can't take the really basic means and provisions to provide just basic performance information?
Yeah.
Right? Like, what's the entire purpose of the performance review apparatus? Which, by the way, Leah, I'm sure you'll agree with this. Organizations spend dozens, if not hundreds of hours documenting all this performance review, getting this into the people CRM, whatever it is. And then what's the purpose of all that if in the moment of truth, it doesn't get deployed? It makes absolutely no sense. And I actually think this is a case where employees deserve to have the right to be told why they're being fired in an exit interview if they request full stop.
Well, and if the company needs to have a pre-vetted, written out reason as to why that is, that's not going to get them in legal trouble, fine, but they need to have that ready to go.
Yeah, have your act together, whether it's the PIP or you know, the manager's on the call wants to deal with the questions. What kind of comes to mind is the same kind of scenario where, you know, with the university presidents in front of Congress, and, you know, these are really bright university presidents. I don't think anybody doubts whether those university presidents really, you know, are anti-Semitic. I think it's just that everybody agreed they hid behind these legal restrictions. Like, they had a bit of a muzzle, you know, on them to actually speak the way they wanted to speak. And as a result, they just came out as a bit asinine with some of their comments, right?
Yeah.
And, you know, have we reached that point now where we can't speak what's obviously intended? I think this is the case here with Jenna.
You mentioned legalese and language and the template and the documentation of that. And I've told a story many, many times, my own show on this podcast, about when I thought I was unjustly fired. They went through the general template and I burst into a monologue to the point where, by the way, I was right. I was freaking right.
Yeah, yeah.
You're the corporation's nightmare, right? Mm-hmm. You're the reason why they had these HR.
they had to, before it was, I was one step away from security being called. HR's walking me down the hallway and I was that emotional person. So it's like, do you think some of the legalese and this sort of general template, you just alluded to it in a humorous way, Matt, but in all seriousness, is that a reason on the HR side why this is so sanitized and non-emotional?
Yeah, but in that case, it's lazy. And in that case, you're harming all because of a few outliers, right? Like, you can't come up with a process to completely streamline and make yourself legal risk-free and in the process not give fundamental rights to the employee where they're just asking for a reason why, you know, they've been terminated.
You're not going to be able to take all the emotion out of firing someone is the thing. It's just impossible.
But playing the devil's devil's advocate here, the template got created for a reason. Clearly, in some cases, it had to be somewhat effective. There has to be some data research behind that, right? Or it's just a shell of what it really should be. And it's kind of been diluted over time.
My last words on that would be, if the current processes, HR processes, again, for firings and terminations, were designed and engineered in a way to help maintain a professional demeanor during the process, the termination process, and have it, you know, be unemotional, I think they've clearly over-designed or over-engineered it in a certain
resulting
direction
in viral
now, where it's
videos,
like, not, right? And so it needs to be tweaked. It needs to be changed, right? It's gotten so clinical and sterile that like no information at all is being shared. Then you're filling the rights of the employee.
What's
that's, you know, I think that's kind of what's happening.
To remind everyone that number one, HR works for the company. They don't work for you. This is a prime example of it. And two, if you're running everything you say in any meeting past legal, you're going to end up with, in my experience, a big pile of nothing. And that's essentially what's happened with this HR script, where you're not saying anything because you're protecting yourself legally, but there's nothing left.
Clearly, people in companies and HR departments, some of them are doing it the right way. You've both had to fire people. I've never had to fire anybody before. I just get fired. So I know what that seat is like. What about on the other side where you've had to make those decisions? What are some nuanced things or some approaches you both take in that process?
Well, you know, in the show research, I see, according to a Gallup survey, I guess only 33% of employees, 1 in 3, strongly agree that someone has talked to them about their progress in the past 6 months. We've hit on this note before. It's all about expectations, right? So if you only talked to your employee once or not at all in the last 6 months, and then you're going into a meeting where you're terminating them.
Yeah. So you feel like you're taken by surprise is what you're saying.
Yeah. And I think that's where it starts, right? Is expectations or frequent enough meetings where you're delivering the feedback necessary for their performance either to get better. And sometimes it's not about their performance getting better. Sometimes it's just about the employee getting resigned to the fact that the company, for better or worse, is not seeing enough value for the services I'm providing, and therefore I may get fired. And that is one of the reasons why sometimes you have to have these frequent communications, purely for expectation reasons. So I think it starts there. And then I do agree with her in the actual exit meeting, the manager being there. If the employee asks for data, your response cannot be, oh, we'll get back to you on that, or I can't answer that question for you on the call. That just cannot be the response. You have to be able to respond to that question there and then, either yourself as an HR director armed with the data or with the manager present responding to it.
It's interesting because, okay, you talked about the performance side. This is a question I think is burning in my ear, maybe some other people's ears too, having been a guy who's been fired a lot. Oftentimes it wasn't performance, but I was also taken by surprise because employees of all ilk, all statuses, they're perceptive. They understand what's going on. I've had so many instances in my career where it's like, I see things are happening. There's an M&A on the horizon. People are getting fired. You know, there's certain things you're seeing, talk around the office. And then you have that meeting, you do, and you communicate to your direct report or your boss. And you're like, something's going on here. I feel really weird. Is my job potentially in jeopardy? And for months, straight to your face, your direct report, your boss is like, I don't know anything about that. Next thing you know, 2 months later, they're like, can you step into the office? And then you peer around the corner. It's the person from HR and the person that's been lying to you for 2 months. And instead of the manager communicating, going, you know what? I can't say exactly, but I can tell you right now, there are some changes happening and I can understand if you'd be worried. And I can understand if you maybe want to start looking and exploring options. Why can't we have that?
That's legal. Definitely legally, they weren't allowed or were not supposed to have said anything. And I feel like I've been on both ends of that, where I've been deliberately kept in the dark and been very frustrated by that. A lot of the time, the rationale is you're protecting the person who's being let go by not making it public knowledge before they're told in this sort of proper, compassionate way. But to Matt's point, the way we're letting people go these days is not particularly compassionate anymore.
Yeah. It's not compassion anymore. Yeah. We've crossed that Rubicon.
From the employee standpoint, Brittany Peach, do you think to take the camera out, and is it an empowering move? I hear she's getting job offers, right?
I hear she's getting a lot of inbound job offers.
I can only assume that this happened in a state where you don't need two-party consent to record a conversation.
Take away the camera portion of this. If you're in this situation, Zoom, phone call, hopefully it's not an email, or you're in that weird office that I've been in Friday, you might stop in the office real quick. Oh, shit. It's Friday at 5. How can you handle yourself in a way that you get the most, if that's something you can, out of that situation? What do you do? Ask a lot of questions?
Well, apparently employees don't have the right to ask the reason as to why they're being fired in that meeting. Or if they do, it's not being provided then and there. I will just say this. I've come across so many Reddit stories where the headline is, I have a meeting invite that was sent, and it's cryptic. It's on a Monday morning and all this stuff. And there's so much obsession around that time where I'm going to be walking into this meeting. Well, why wait for that, right? If you're an employee and if at any point your manager or managers aren't meeting with you frequently enough and you believe that you're maybe heading toward termination, you know, you could preempt it. You can reach out and say, hey, I want a meeting. I want to know how I'm doing. And yes, maybe that's not within your job description, but it's only going to help you and arm you. The sooner you have the information, the better. Stop obsessing over that timeline of sorts, waiting for that inevitable email or meeting calendar invite where it happens, and just preempt the process.
You're reminding me, Matt, of when I set up a call to talk to an employee about performance issues. It was just a check-in, but I guess the employee figured out what we were talking about and came in and said, before we start, I just want to say, I know I haven't been doing a great job at this, this, this. This is what I'm going to do moving forward, but totally took the bite out of what I was going to do, but it was wonderful. Your manager will appreciate it if you come in and you know that you've been
I agree.
Fucking up, or you just want to talk about how you can be better.
It reminds me of something you said earlier in the conversation, Matt, which is you can have all the tactics and, you know, your camera ready and all that stuff when the event is happening. One of the things I did was kind of just waited for them to reach out to me. And if I didn't hear anything, I assumed things were going well. And one thing I'd do different is force that communication if it's not happening. Send that email, say, hey, am I hitting these marks the way I didn't hear anything from you? And it might annoy them and you might be fearful, but it's better to know. That's one thing I wish that I would have done, and I probably would have been fired less.
There you go.
Hey, you made it. Thanks for tuning into The Lonely Office. If you like what you heard, follow us on all major podcast platforms so you don't miss an episode. And make sure and tap 5 stars and leave a review. I know everyone says it, but it actually helps others like you discover the show. Remember, the topics you hear us talk about on the show are sourced from Glassdoor communities, where professionals are having candid conversations about their careers anonymously with others in their industry. To be part of that conversation, download the Glassdoor app. And when you're in the app, make sure and join the Lonely Office Bowl. That's where we are. When you're there, you can suggest a topic idea or an episode idea, or you can make it more formal and email us at thelonelyoffice@glassdoor.com. We'll catch you next time.